Good morning. We are going to be reading now from Mark's Gospel. If you have the little black booklet, then that is on page 32. And if you're looking at the red pew Bibles, then that's on page 1006. So we're going to read from chapter 4, starting at verse 35. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thirsty, we are weak, and we fear in the storms of our life. Please speak to us so that we can find security and peace in our hearts in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In October 1991, a group of fishermen from Massachusetts set out for what was meant to be an ordinary trip. But what followed became known as the perfect storm. And three weather systems collided over the North Atlantic, creating waves over 100 feet high, the kind of storm no one was prepared for. Captain Billy and his crew fought for their lives as their boat was tossed like a toy in the raging ocean. Despite their skill and experience, nature's power was too great. All six men perished in the storm. That event reminds us of how small and helpless we truly are before the forces of nature. But it also reminds us of something even greater. There is only one who can stand in the middle of such chaos and say with authority, "Quiet, be still." In our passage, we see Jesus' disciples, some of them seasoned fishermen, face their own terrifying storm. Yet, unlike the world that is powerless before nature, we see Jesus, who is holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, and even the wind and waves obey him. This morning we will look at this passage on the 3 points. First, King leads his people into the storm. And second, the King reveals his holiness in the storm. Third, King transforms the fear into the fear of the Lord through the storm. And today I hope and pray everyone here sees Jesus is holy and what that means to you. At the first, the King leads his people into the storm. Before the storm begins, Jesus gives a simple command in verse 35. "Let us go over to the other side." And disciples obey, and their obedience leads them straight into one of the fiercest storms they will ever face. This moment doesn't come out of nowhere. Mark has shown us Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God through parables, stories that separate those who listen from those who don't. To the crowd, Jesus speaks in parables without explanation, but to his disciples, he reveals the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and they are the ones who have ears to hear. Hearing, however, is not enough. True hearing leads to obedience. So when Jesus says, "Let us go over to the other side," disciples respond with trust. And they don't know what awaits them. But they obey the king's word, and faith that listens must also follow. That is the moment when teaching turns to a testing. That's a testing time. It's one thing to hear about the kingdom of God in the safety of the shore. It's another to live out that faith when the winds rise and the boat begins to sink. The storm becomes a classroom in which Jesus transforms information into a revelation of who he truly is. The Sea of Galilee sits 209 meters below sea level, surrounded by steep hills. It's infamous for sudden violent storms by cold air rushing down from the mountains and colliding with the warm water and warm air over the water. Within minutes, calm waters become raging waves. As evening falls, that's exactly what happens. The disciples, many of them experienced fishermen, face a furious storm. The wind howls, waves crash into the boat, and the water begins to fill it. Their knowledge, skill, and strength cannot save them. They are powerless, and yet they are precisely where Jesus wants them to be. The storm is not a sign of God's absence or anger. It is a sign of his leading. They are in the storm because they obeyed. This is important truth for every follower of Jesus. We often assume that obedience should lead to blessing, comfort, and calm seas. But Psalm 23 reminds us the same shepherd who leads us beside the still waters also leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. The following Jesus sometimes means walking into difficulty, not around it, because it is there that his presence is most deeply known. In the storm, Jesus is with them. Though asleep, his body rests from the exhaustion of ministry, yet his peace remains unshaken. His sleep is not indifferent. He is fully aware and fully in control. His disciples' obedience brings them into situation that human wisdom cannot manage. But it is in that very place that Jesus reveals who he truly is. The storm exposes the limits of their strength and the greatness of his power. Often Jesus leads us the same way. He calls us to follow. And as we obey, we sometimes find ourselves in situations that test our faith, unsettle our confidence, and reveal our weakness. And yet, every wave that threatens to drown us becomes an opportunity to depend more deeply on him. The storms of life, individually and collectively, as a local church, can be financial, relational, emotional, or spiritual, but they are not accidents. They are invitations. Through storms, Jesus trains our heart to trust his word more than our experience. His power more than our ability. His promises more than our perception. The storm is an invitation to hear Jesus attentively. Do you really trust me? Jesus says. The king leads his people into storms, not to punish them, but to prepare them, to strengthen their faith and reveal his holiness. As the disciples will soon discover, the same voice that leads them into the storm is the voice that commands the storm to be still. The secondly, king reveals his holiness in the storm. In verse 38, the contrast is striking. The disciples are terrified, shouting and panicking as the waves crash over the boat. Yet Jesus sleeps in perfect peace. His body is weary from healing the sick, casting out demons and teaching the crowds, but his soul rests in unshakable confidence in the Father's sovereignty. This is no ordinary calm. This is the calm of divine holiness, the peace of one who is utterly set apart from creation, untouched by fear, and sovereign over every force of nature. What do we mean that when we say Jesus is holy? To say Jesus is holy means he is completely other, utterly unique and different. Holiness is not merely one of God's many attributes. It is the crown of all his attributes. His love is holy love. His justice is holy justice. His mercy is holy mercy. Everything about him is set apart from all creation. The prophet Isaiah once saw this holiness. In Isaiah chapter 6, he saw that the Lord was seated on the throne, high and lifted up, and the seraphim, the angelic beings, cried out, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah saw the glory of the living God, so majestic even angels covered their faces. And Jesus tells us in John chapter 12, verse 41, the glory Isaiah saw was his own glory. The Holy One Isaiah worshipped in the temple 700 years ago is the same Jesus now sleeping in the boat. The one high and exalted has stepped down to dwell among his people, the holy king sharing their storm. And now, in this moment, on the stormy sea, the holiness is revealed, not in blazing glory, but in perfect calm. The disciples wake Jesus and crying out, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They recognize his authority as teacher, but they still do not grasp his identity as the Holy God. Then in verse 39, everything changes. Jesus rises, rebukes the wind and the command the sea. "Quiet, be still." Immediately, the wind ceases and there is great calm. Healing the sick, casting out demons, feeding 5,000, and calming the storm are miracles to us. People don't believe these things can be possible according to our scientific and logical minds. But imagine this. You live in a two-dimensional world, a flat world, where everything is confined to length and width, but no depth. And one day, a being from three-dimensional world enters your world and pops around your flat world. Everything about him would seem strange, otherworldly, miraculous. Wow, what it does, it's amazing. because he moves in dimensions you cannot even imagine. What is ordinary to him would be miraculous to you. This is the same as Jesus. To Jesus, they are nothing. They are easy peasy for him. The piece of cake to Jesus, who is holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory. This is what happened when Jesus, the creator of the universe, who is outside of the universe, stepped into our world. He came from the third heaven, referring to spiritual realm and a ghost dwelling place, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. A dimension beyond our comprehension. And everything he does reflects that holiness and complete otherness. His words, his actions, his peace, his power, all of it is different, set apart, utterly beyond what our fallen minds can fully grasp. What seems miraculous to us is natural to him. For Jesus' holiness is not an effort. It's his nature. The holiness Isaiah saw in heaven is now revealed on earth. The same power that filled the heavens with glory now filled a small fishing boat in peace. This holiness is both transcendent and immanent. Jesus is above the storm, unthreatened, sovereign, yet he is also in the storm, fully present with his disciples. The Holy God Jesus does not remain distant in majesty. He draws near in mercy. When we face the uncontrollable storm of our sin and judgment, he came to the world from the third heaven to die for our sin and rise from the dead to give us life with him. This holiness becomes our salvation. When we face the fear of loss and uncertainty, Jesus reveals his holiness and comforts us and leads us through the storm. Because Jesus is holy, he's never overwhelmed by what overwhelms us. Because he is holy, his peace is perfect. His authority to forgive sins is absolute. And because he is holy, his presence with us is steady, strong, and sure. To build his holiness is to find forgiveness, salvation, confidence, courage, and rest. It is to realize that holiness is not cold distance, but radiant love, divine power, working for our good and his glory. The disciples' amazement says it all. Look at verse 41. Who is this that even the wind and waves obey him? They are beginning to see what Isaiah saw 700 years ago. The king who sits upon the throne of heaven now reigns over the storm. And Jesus is none other than the Lord God Almighty, who is holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of his glory. Our storms today serve the same purpose. Not to destroy us, but to reveal him. When we cry out through every wind and wave, Jesus shows us his holiness. When we trust him in the storm, we experience his peace, his power, and his presence firsthand. The King Jesus is holy. Lastly, King transforms fear into the fear of the Lord through the storm. Look at verse 40. And Jesus calms the storm and turns his disciples. Why are you so afraid? do you still have no faith? The storm was never meant merely to terrify them. It was meant to train them. Through the storm, Jesus tested their faith and revealed his glory. He allowed the storm not to harm his people, but to show his holiness. In the chaos, he teaches a profound truth. Fear is not meant to paralyze us. It is meant to redirect us from fear of circumstances to the fear of the Lord, a reverent awe before the Holy King. Look at verse 41 again. And they were terrified and asked each other, who then is this that even the wind and waves obey him? Their fear has changed. It is no longer the panic of danger, but holy fear. All feel the recognition of King Jesus' holiness. This is the fear of the Lord that awakens the soul to worship, obedience, and faith. Holy fear is not terror. It is wonder. It is the trembling awareness that one in the boat is the Lord of heaven and earth. When Isaiah saw the holiness of Jesus, he cried out in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." When you see the holiness of Jesus, your sins are all exposed before him. And Isaiah had no option but to confess his sins before him. And the Lord forgave him. That is the fear of the Lord. Like Isaiah, the disciples tremble not because of storm anymore, but because they witness Jesus' holiness. They fear, and this fear does not drive them away. It draws them near to the Lord. It transforms their panic into faith, their dread into worship. So far in Mark's gospel, we need to see that the fear of the Lord leads us to see our sins and to confess our sins before the Holy God Jesus, who has authority over nature, sickness, and the demons, most importantly, to forgive our sins. So the fear of the Lord means we must listen to Jesus. We must. Because our lives are literally in his hand, whose authority extends over all creation, including you and me. In our lives, the storms come in many forms: illness, loss, financial pressure, broken relationships, personal failure, or opposition to our faith. Such trials naturally stir fear. Fear of pain, fear of uncertainty, fear of losing control. Yet King Jesus transformed these natural fears into holy fear, a fear that produces awe, worship, and steadfast trust. When fear drives us to him, we grow spiritually and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Each storm is an invitation to see more of his holiness and depend more deeply on Jesus. Even when the storm rages, holy fear anchors our hearts in truth. Jesus is holy. Not because the waves are smaller, but because our view of King Jesus is far greater. The fear of the Lord is to realize that Jesus rules the chaos and our life is safe in his hand. Holy fear changes everything. fear of the world, face the fear of death, loses its grip, and fear of failure is silenced, because we have seen who holds the universe, our King Jesus, who is holy. This truth both challenges and comforts us. It challenges us to abandon self-reliance, self-righteousness, self-confidence, and false securities. It comforts us because the one who commands creation and holds us with grace. Every trial becomes an opportunity to experience his power and love. The King transforms fear into the fear of the Lord, turning panic into worship, dread into trust, and trembling into faith. As the disciples ask, "Who then is this, that even the wind and waves obey him?" We too are called to respond in awe and reverent worship. Every trial becomes an opportunity to experience his power and love. The King transforms fear into the fear of the Lord. As the disciples asked each other, "Who then is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." In every storm of life, the King invites us to behold his holiness, trust his sovereignty, and worship him with awe, knowing that he is holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Brothers and sisters, we have seen three vital truths. King leads his people into the storm, not to destroy, but to teach us to depend on him. The King reveals his holiness in the storm, the calm that comes from the one who is utterly set apart, sovereign, and gloriously different from everyone and everything else in the entire universe. King transforms the fear into the fear of the Lord through the storm, calling us to holy reverence that grows into unwavering trust and obedience. The storm we face today are opportunities to see the same truth. The wind may raise and the waves may rise, yet the Holy King Jesus is with us. We are called to ask, do we recognize the King Jesus is holy, and put him on the stand of our hearts to shine in every corner of our hearts, to expose our sins before him and seek his forgiveness? Are we listening attentively to his word because Jesus is holy? Whatever the circumstances, are we willing to trust fully in Holy King Jesus who commands the storm? Jesus is holy. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 reminds us, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Knowing Jesus is holy is wisdom and understanding. So let us respond with attentive ears, faithful hearts, and reverent fear, saying in awe, "Who then is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." And the answer is to join the heavenly chorus in Isaiah chapter 6. "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for inviting us to trust you more in the storms of our life. Help us behold your holiness, and we may see our sins before you and confess our sins and find forgiveness in Jesus Christ our Lord. We may fear him for our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.